Amen. It's so good to be here with you this morning, and thank you, Pastor Ryan. And I would say that it was definitely the leadership of the Lord to have my particular message to be on this particular day. But yeah, the Lord, He's been so good to us, and really enjoyed the Blinds of singing. I really wished I'd had one of their CDs when we were coming down through the Yukon Terry, especially that song, I'm Gonna Make It. Amen. Some of y'all know, some of you don't, but we, an hour and a half from the house, we ended up with a dead alternator. And we drove 4,300 miles with the dead alternator. Yeah, it actually died on the side of the road. And if you've ever been up in Yukon territory, it's about 300 miles between gas stations and hotels. And we left the house, it was 45 below zero. So if you've ever been stranded in a blizzard at 45 below zero, where there's no cell reception, you begin to realize, I wouldn't advise anybody to go if you're not saved. But I tell you what, this God that we serve, He's a living God. Amen. And my wife and I, we begin to pray and have other people praying for us. I'm just saying, this God, He lives. Amen. Amen. And I knew before Brother Ryan had called, see, there was a test of faith on my side as well, because the Lord gave me a message and said, this is for camp meeting 2024, and Brother Ryan hadn't called me yet. So I thought, well, I'm going to see. Maybe I'm hearing wrong too. So when he called, I'm like, praise the Lord, that was a good one. And when I found out the theme, I thought, thank the Lord again. This might work out. So anyways, but thank you so much for each of you that are here. To me, I consider all of you family. I love the family of God. And my heart's been blessed this week listening to the different men of God preach the Word of God. And today I'm going to do my best, as the Lord would help me, to be able to preach to you what the Lord has laid on my heart. But I do want to say thanks for all the cards that were sent. There's some pretty good artists in here, I've found out. There was somebody's had colored in a nice little Holy Bible there, and that was real good. So thank you for that. I'm going to be reading to you today in two different places, 1 Peter chapter 1 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read that here in just a little bit, but we're going to start with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 through 11. And several times this week, I thought Brother Allen had me. He had me up against the wall. I thought he's going to get my verse for sure. But I was trusting in the Lord, and he hopped right over it. So, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But 1 Peter chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in the 7th verse and read down through the 11th. 1 Peter chapter 7, or I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 7, says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Let's pray this afternoon. Holy Father, I thank you, God. You said that I would be here, and you brought us, God, on your mighty wings through the wilderness, and I praise you. I give you glory, God, for your word stood when everything natural said that it would not. God, I'm humbled this morning to stand before you. God, I'm from beneath. You are from above. I thank you this day, God, of the great glory of Jesus Christ, God, that we can speak about this morning. Lord, I pray today that you would help me to speak what you've put in my heart. Help me not to say anything except that which has been ordained from heaven. God, this message this morning, I'm not even sure that it's lawful for a man to speak the things about the glory of Christ that you've given me today. But I pray, God, that you would cover me by the blood of Jesus this morning. And I pray, God, for a brief moment in time that the Holy Ghost would come and envelop us in and speak to us and edify this church. God, bring verses to our minds, God, that fortify the greatness of Jesus Christ. Hide me in the cross and cover me by your sacred blood. I pray today, God, oh Lord Jesus, when it's all done and I've done what you've commanded, that I would know that I'm an unprofitable servant. Lord, have your way this morning. Speak to your church today that they might hear what the Spirit would say in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Before I go too far into this, I just want to say this. Jesus must be our greatest love. Amen. The Bible says he's a jealous God. This Christ, we know so little about him. And he is such a mighty God. And he deserves to be loved above anything and above everything. Amen. Once we become Christians, many of us do have been called to preach different things. I want to say something this morning. We must love Jesus personally more than we love preaching. Amen. We must love Jesus more than we love singing. Amen. These things are tools, but he is the supreme love of our life. That must be. For our relationship to be right with God, we have to love him above everything. You say, how far do you believe that should go? I believe we should love this Christ more than the blood that flows through our veins. I believe if we love our blood and our bodies more than the blood that flowed down Calvary, we are not worthy of him. Amen. He is the great I am. He is the Alpha and Omega, the author and finisher of our faith. And our relationship, you'll notice when things go awry in your life, if you look back, you'll find that you possibly have left your first love and that you don't love him. We can fall in love with things, but when we come to the house of God, we're recalibrated to put him as supreme and love him above everything that can be. Amen. That's why the Bible says, I believe it's Colossians 3:3, but ye are dead, and ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's how it must be. But sometimes, if we're not careful, our Christ is hid in our life. Our life is supposed to be hid in him, not him hid in me. Amen. The world, when they look at us, they should see Jesus, not me. Amen. That's how this is designed. But when we look at our verses here today, the trial of your faith, you're going to go through some trials, but don't despair. See, these things are ordained. They're not for our destruction, but they're for our edification. God, for him to prove himself strong, we must go through times where we see the whole thing as impossible. He is the God of the impossible. When you read your Bible all the way through, you'll find impossibility after impossibility, and yet God came through every time. Amen. He is the mighty God, and we can trust in him, even though that we will go and be tried by the fire. Amen. That these things would be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It says, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to say this morning. We will see Jesus. I love the song. It says, we shall see him just as they saw him. And I'm not trying to argue with the writer that. I'm just saying we'll see him like he's never, ever been seen before. Not even by those apostles who walked with him upon the face of the earth. Now it speaks about this joy unspeakable. There is a joy that is unspeakable and it's full of glory. When we see Christ in the fullness of his glory It will be unspeakable. You ever think of that word, the fullness? The fullness. I don't know if you've ever thought, what is the measure of the fullness of the glory of this Christ? I'm not talking about an 80%. I'm talking about what is the fullness. Now often we've looked to see, has the blood of Jesus ever been stretched to its fullest potential? No. No, there's still much more power to save and to redeem in the blood of Jesus. And when we look at the fullness, this Christ full of glory, amen, it's a wonderful thing. Now in verses 10 and 11, the prophets prophesied of the sufferings of Christ and of the glory that should follow. If you will, these two are connected together. The sufferings of Christ, and so many men of God have mentioned so many of these verses. I'm not trying to be repetitious, but for the record, I want to say I had my message 3 months ago. So if anybody stole it, no, I'm just kidding you. But Revelation 13 and 8 says, as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. From the foundation of the world, these sufferings were evident. His sufferings were also recorded in the Gospels while he walked this earth clothed in mortality. But then again in Revelations 5 and 6, we see in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. So it was seen that he was suffering before the foundations of the world. Obviously, he suffered in the years of mortality that are recorded in our Gospels. But then we begin to see even, if you will, in the celestial, that Jesus was seen as a lamb that had been slain. So we see it far back, we see it in the Scripture, and we see it forward, if you will. Amen. Today, we're still seeing the power of his sufferings. Amen. Those sufferings were not in vain. We're still seeing the strength and power of those sufferings by the healing virtue of his stripes. Amen. And the woundings for our transgressions and the bruises for our iniquities. So the fullness of his sufferings are not seen as of yet. The fullness. We've seen some, but the next generation will see the effect of his sufferings by being born again. That's what it purchased. His sufferings, the Bible says, he was delivered for our offenses and raised up again for our justification. Amen. He raised up from the dead for us. So in like manner, his glory has yet to be displayed unto the worlds in its fullness. And this brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you want to turn there, a couple of verses I want to read to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 40 through 43. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 40 through 43. Amen. I love to hear the sound of the pages rustling. Amen. It's a good thing. Notice what he says. He says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Notice, put your attention upon this verse of 40 that says, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. My title to you today is this: the cumulative glory of Christ. Amen. The cumulative, all of it. Amen. From the celestial to the terrestrial. Amen. combined in one brief moment. I'm talking about joy unspeakable and the fullness of the glory of this great Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the living God today. There is a glory of the celestial and a glory of the terrestrial. Amen. And they differ. Terrestrial means earthly or in earth. Celestial means heaven or heavenly. In Hebrews 2:9 it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Amen. We mostly know of his terrestrial glory, his earthly glory, the glory he had as Jesus of Nazareth. Listen, when he came into the terrestrial world, there was with the angels, a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Hallelujah. I don't think that necessarily, if you will give a license me today, not to mean so much glory to God who's up there, but how about glory to God in the fullness? The full measure of the capacity of Christ. That's why the Bible calls him, amen, the King of Glory. Hallelujah. The King of Glory, that means he owns it all. Amen. Those disciples, when Jesus in his terrestrial glory walked this earth, even when he started, it was glory, and when he finished, it was glory, because Paul said, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ." There's a tremendous glory in Jesus' hand upon a cross. Amen. There was a tremendous glory of Jesus coming into this earth in the fullness of time, his mother being a virgin coming to this earth to the point that heaven had to let everybody know, glory. There's glory here. What's the glory? Now this glory is not the same as the celestial glory that he had before the worlds were made. One glory, it differs from another. I don't know if you've thought of the greatness of Christ, but do you realize he humbled himself? He fought the greatest adversary that man has ever had or will ever have in the most basest of conditions. Now, they give medals out for the military, and that's good, but most of the time when a man's in the military, he's got some equipment with him. But do you realize Jesus humbled himself down to the lowest point, the Lord of glory, the King of glory, and he defeated the Satan that we fight against. Amen. At his weakest moment, he's greater than Satan at his most powerful moment. Amen. Hallelujah. He did that in terrestrial glory, not in celestial. There's a big step, Brother Mike, from being in the terrestrial to being in the celestial. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest sense of glory. Amen. Now they saw Jesus as a healer. They were there, and it was glory all around when he raised Lazarus. It was glory all around. Last night we heard about whenever he turned the water into wine. It was glory all around when he prophesied of things that would be, and sure enough, they came true. Amen. There was glory in the life of Jesus. Every step that he took, there was glory that he went and fasted for 40 days. Amen. It was all this glory when he rebuked the wind and the seas. Amen. But all of this, if you will, was in the terrestrial sense. Amen. Not the celestial. John 17:5, Jesus speaking, he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." He's saying, God, remember the glory, because see, he was stripped of all His glory when He came to the earth. He laid that aside the same way as King David laid aside all his kingly garments, and he wore a linen ephod, and he danced before the God of heaven, God Jehovah with all of His might. Jesus, hallelujah, He said, you know, I'm not going to need this down there. I mean, you think about it. He could have brought 100 legions of angels with Him and said, let's take care of business. But the King of glory, He laid it all off to the side. He put all that off. I'll just go down there in my basest that I've ever been. And He's talking to God saying, Lord, remember that glory that I had with You before? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What kind of glory was that? What kind of glory was it when God stepped out on nothing and said, let there be? Hallelujah. And there began to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This glory, I'm telling you, it's an intense thing. We often maybe think of it as a soft thing, but it's a powerful thing. It's a mighty thing. The book of God is filled with this word, glory, from one end to the other, because He is the King of glory. Amen. There's none more glorious than Jesus, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Amen. But He's speaking about before the world was. Now we're talking about the celestial glory. Amen. I read to you about the glory of the sun. Today that's going to be where we're after. Tomorrow I'm going to speak about the glory of the moon. And as far as the glory of the stars, that one's up to you. You can figure, pray this and the Lord will help you. I didn't get no words from headquarters on that one. I'll just stick with what I got. Amen. But listen, the glory of the sun produces its own light. Amen. Let me just say this. The glory of the church is not ours. It's His glory. Amen. He doesn't need anything I got. He has His own. His own glory. Amen. And can I say this morning, He's full. He's full of glory. Amen. The half has not yet even been seen. Amen. The disciples, they seen Him and thought, oh, that's wonderful. He's breaking bread. Oh, isn't that glory? It ain't glory like when He says, Lazarus, come forth. Oh, wait a second. We've bumped up a notch or two. And it wasn't the glory like when He spoke to the man who was full of the devil and commanded the demons to flee. Whoa, now, and this all, that happened in a terrestrial sense. I'm talking about the cumulative glory of Christ. Amen. It's not that He didn't have this before. It's that we didn't see it. Amen. Because I don't think we could have taken it, Brother Mike. Amen. Listen, the glory of the sun. In Revelations 21, 23, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Amen. I read somewhere, Brother Jamie Doyle, where it said, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Hallelujah. He's put life inside of us. And then it shines forth, Brother Charles. It's the glory of this great Christ. Hallelujah. There's no shortage in heaven of this glory. Hallelujah. He shed His blood for every man, woman, boy, and girl that would ever be born. And I can assure you, the Bible says, whom He justified, He also glorified. He has enough glory to give glory to everyone that's saved. Whosoever will can taste of this great glory. Hallelujah to the living God. The glory of the moon, hallelujah, is different. The moon is not the sun, but it is the thing, amen, that the sun illuminates. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you ever been illuminated? I'd say this. You read your Bible, and you can do line upon line precept, and then all of a sudden, brother, the illumination of God comes to you. Ha! Ha! I'm on a hot trail. Woo! Amen. And you begin to look and say, wait a second. I never seen anything like that before. This is going deep, Brother Bobby. This went from the natural wisdom of man to the wisdom which is from above, which is first pure. And now all of a sudden we begin to see Christ in a little different light and go, hey, this is growing. This thing is getting bigger by the moment. It's getting greater. There's more glory to it than there was. Some of you preachers know what I'm saying. You've preached a message. Oh, man, you think you've wrung that thing out? I got all the juice out of that, and one day the Lord will illuminate. And when He does, you realize you didn't get nothing out. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, the glory of God is like the mightiest ocean. And we're like the smallest sponge if you flung it out in the ocean. And it soaks up all that it can, but there's still so much more. The glory of Christ is so mighty. It is so big. Hallelujah. Amen. It is so big. If you will, it is the revelation or discovery of. He will discover. Amen. His face. Revelation 6:15 and 16. Notice this. To kings, rich men, great men, bond and free. But they will cry out for the mountains and the rocks to fall on them. I want to say this morning this. Discovery is not the same as relationship. Discovery. You can have somebody who walks with God shed some light on some scriptures for you, but that's not the same thing as relationship. Amen. This glory of God, it's a mighty thing. Can I say this morning, that he's very careful, and we should be very careful not to give glory in the wrong places. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that there was a man named Herod, and there came a certain day, and this man named Herod, he made a certain oration, and he did good. He had it figured out just right. His tie was perfect. Everything was good, and this Herod made an oration. And the people cried out, "This is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of God." And he liked that. Oh, that fit real good. Could y'all say that again? Oh, and you know what happened? The angel of the Lord smote this man, and he was eaten of worms. And you know, it says why? Because he gave God not the glory. He did not give glory to God. I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things you can rob God from. Malachi says you can rob Him in tithes. But I want to tell you this morning, beware that you don't rob God of glory. He won't take that lightly, Brother Arliss. His glory, that's His. And He's not like anything that we could ever even comprehend. He's altogether lovely. He's altogether different, Brother Charles. Amen. When we come to the altar and get saved, there's a glory there. Oh, hallelujah, He saved me. But I'm just telling you today, that's a small little speck. That's not all the accumulation of it. That's the first step of it. And it's good that we would glorify. Throughout Revelations, it speaks of those wicked ones on this earth who blasphemed Him and would not give glory to His name. Amen. We sing it, glory to His name. That's why in heaven, if you notice, it's always glory, honor, praise, majesty belongs to Thee. And they bow. Amen. Because He alone is worthy, Brother Charles, of all praise, of all glory, of all honor. Amen. They can never outdo it. You ever had somebody say something until they just, we used to say, drive it in the ground, broke it off, you got tired of it. It's just like, okay, that you can't outdo this. You don't have the capacity, Brother Ryan, to give too much glory to God. You can never praise Him. Oh, I exceeded the mark. Now it's inappropriate. I've overpraised Him. Not a chance. If anything, all we've ever done was underpraised Him. All we've ever done was not give Him quite the measure that He deserves. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not trying to diminish anything, only stating that He is greater than what He reveals. He's more than knowledge. Hallelujah. There is a glory in resurrection. Amen. As I mentioned, when He saved us, it was glory, but not like it will be. Amen. Won't you hear me this morning? When Jesus saved you, it was glory all around, Brother Joey Wilson. Yes, but there's coming a time, if the Lord doesn't come back, we're going to lay this body down. We're going to give it back up. Let me just say this. We're going to lay down the terrestrial. But there's a time appointed, Brother Charles Scott, of the resurrection. And I can assure you, when your eyes pop open from death into immortality, it ain't going to be the same measure of glory that it was when you knelt at an altar. Having received the end of your faith, do you realize there's a time we won't need faith anymore? I won't need to close my eyes and wonder what He looks like and where is He? He won't be the invisible God to us anymore. I'll be able to look at Him as He is. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, the glory of God, it'll be to a fuller level than I've ever known it to be before when I awake in His likeness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. There's nothing like it. The combination of the celestial and the terrestrial is resurrection. One of these days, as I said, I'm going to lay down this terrestrial body that I drag around with me. But see, I got something on the inside. Amen. That it is not terrestrial, it's celestial. Amen. We've heard about, amen, hallelujah, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm hoping for some glory, Pastor Ryan. Not like the glory that I got at the altar. Not like the glory when I seen God carry us in a special way all the way down from Alaska. A different. Jesus said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Lo, it is within you. There's something celestial on the inside. And when I die, I'm giving this terrestrial back to the ground. My soul and spirit's going to go and be with Jesus. But there's coming a time when He's going to connect the two together. Hallelujah. When the celestial and the terrestrial meet together, it'll be resurrection all around. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there's a time for the church. Amen. We got a lot of things to look forward to. Hallelujah. What kind of a body are we going to have? He said it was a glorified body. Like unto His glorious body. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to feel good to walk in some immortality. Amen. Amen. It's going to feel good to see Him as He is. Amen. When He was telling Martha and them that He's the resurrection, He was saying a whole lot more, Brother Joey. Amen. I'm going to tell you, this God, He is a mighty God. Hallelujah. Spoken there in the Old Testament, how that they would take a stick, one and you put Judah on it, and the other stick you would put Israel on it, and you would put those sticks together and tie them together, and He would bring Israel back together. If you studied your Bible, you know that at Rehoboam's day, the kingdom was divided, right? And it's been divided ever since. Amen. That's a long time. Do you know, God's not going to have any trouble whatsoever resurrecting the first dead saint. They've been in the ground a long time. Amen. I'm telling you, celestial, He's not going to have any trouble. He's going to find that terrestrial and say, all right. He's not going to get it mixed up. He ain't putting my soul and my spirit in your body. He's going to put it in mine. Amen. Why? Because He's going to show I'm the King of glory. Hallelujah. I'm the King of glory. No one else holds that seat. I'm the King of glory. That He's given glory to the church. And His glory would shine all around. Amen. But He ain't done yet. I said He's the King of glory. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's not a little dinky one. Amen. Israel may be small on the map, but the spiritual size of this kingdom, it spans from one end of eternity all the way to the other end. Amen. When Solomon was dedicating the temple, he said, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, Brother Carpenter. I can tell you this, there ain't enough room to contain all of His glory. Hallelujah. Why? Because He's the King. Amen. The glory Christ had before He came to earth, and the glory that He gained while on the earth, and the glory gained while in the earth, amen, and the glory of His thousand-year reign. Do you realize He hasn't accumulated that yet? There's glory yet for Him. He hadn't come back and ruled for 1,000 years. And His glory during creation, and that which was seen in every dispensation, all the pre-incarnate times when He revealed, He just wanted to step behind the curtain and let them see a little glimpse of Him. Amen. Old Melchizedek popped out, didn't he? Amen. Different times. I like what one guy said. He's talking about Joshua, and the captain of the host showed up, and he said, Are you for us? Are you against us? One preacher, he said, are you on our side or the enemy's side? And one preacher said, he said, I'm not here to take sides. I'm here to take over. Amen. God's not here to take sides. He's like, I'm taking over. Why? Because the earth is still the Lord's. I own all this. I'm the master of this house. I'll just come down here and take care of business. And he did. And there was glory. There was glory. Amen. When his presence came down on Sinai, that mountain began to shake. Why? Because there was so much glory, Brother Ryan, that the earth, the elements themselves, almost couldn't contain it. The glory of this living God, the Creator, has come. Amen. And it's so concentrated. The intensity, amen, is beyond calculation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Amen. Every dispensation, do you realize there is a point in time? Now, there's a lot of things that are scheduled. I don't know if you knew that. We have a very busy schedule. The Lord's coming back. There'll be a millennial reign. There's a lot of things going to happen. But do you realize there's the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So we have that appointment. But do you realize there is a time somewhere on the great calendar of God that's marked for the church of the living God for the first time ever for the church to see the King with all the glory of times past, all the glory of His life on earth, all the glories of the millennial reign, all the glories of His great judgment, the glory of Him destroying Satan wonderfully, all of that accumulated. You talk about a concentration. What an intense thing. And there is a time when God said, okay, for the first time, Brother Jamie Doyle, the church is going to see the King of Glory in the full intensity. I'm going to tell you what, when we see that, hallelujah, hallelujah, I believe we're going to fall on our faces like dead men, because even with the glorified body, it'll be so much. Hallelujah. There's so much more to Him than what we know. I'm talking about the cumulative glory of Christ when it's all put together at one time. Amen. We thought we've seen glory down here. Not a chance. When they had thousands saved, not a chance. Amen. On the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down, that was glory all around. But it's still not the fullness of all of Him. Hallelujah. Put together. Amen. What an intensity that will be. Revelation 1, 17. And this is John. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. This is John. Listen, this is John who leaned on Jesus' breast. The same Jesus. But he is now seeing more layers of his glory. See, John saw Jesus. He leaned on his breast. He talked with him. Peter, James, and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they saw the glory of God. But listen, they were sore afraid. But they didn't fall on their faces as dead men. They seen some of His glory, Brother Joey. They seen some of that. Now, I'm talking, this is an apostle of God. God took him into this vision for the purpose of revealing to him. He was selected for this. And when he began to see Jesus with his eyes like fire, amen, that ain't the same Jesus John saw hanging on the cross when he said, woman, behold thy son. Man, behold, it's a different one. No, it's the same Jesus. This same Jesus, amen. But there's a different layer revealed now. Oh. And you'd have thought if anybody could have withstood, oh, that's Jesus. He couldn't take it, Brother Mike. It was so much, even in a vision form, so much that he just, boom, fell at his feet as dead. I can tell you this. He doesn't have to ask anybody, oh, please bow in my presence. the glory that is in this great Christ will slam your face down before Him. Hallelujah. His excellence, His splendor from creation. Look at what He's created. It works flawlessly. Everything works exactly right. When He flung the stars out, when He created an earth, Brother Bobby used to sing a song. He grew the tree that He knew would be used to make the old rugged cross. He overseen that seed, make sure that grows, because there's going to come a day when I will hang upon that. Amen. The innocent for the transgressor, the holy for the unholy, the pure for the defiled. And in mediation between heaven and earth, suspended there, hanging and bleeding and dying for you and for me. Hallelujah. Is not this great King glorious? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The buildup, not that He changes, but rather that layer after layer of His glory is revealed to His bride. You know, nobody, if you're married in here, nobody knows you like your spouse. Everybody may, you may wear the smile, hey, how's it going? But your spouse knows whether you're doing good or whether you're not doing so good. I want to tell you, there's nobody that's going to know the King like the church. Because He's going to reveal Himself to her. Just like when you get married, you tell stuff that nobody else knows. Did I tell you about this and this? Because it's special and it's sacred. And the King of glory. I look forward to that, Brother Charles. I'd have a very limited vocabulary and a very simple mind. But I wonder, what's it going to be like when the church of all ages, when the fullness of the bride is gathered in one place and all the angels sees that beautiful bride, when He comes home, said, Dad, this is her. This is the one I spoke about. This is that glorious church without a spot, without a wrinkle. She's made herself white in my blood. She's been faithful to me. She's been faithful to me. Hallelujah. And all the angels gathered around. What is this thing? The bride, the church. Hallelujah. I don't know how it'll be. I'm just telling you, when He begins to emit the glory, would you like to see the false? I mean, He has to be careful in dealing with us. He had to be careful in dealing with the apostles, these mighty men of God, because I don't want to overdose them. A little dab too much. Boop, oh, oh, he didn't fall as dead. He sure enough is dead. Amen. But He knows our limits. And the idea that He would reveal Himself. I'm going to tell you, I'm so thankful to be a part of the church of the living God. Amen. This is glory. Unspeakable. How are you going to describe that? We've already found out it's unspeakable. Nearly every preacher that's been up here has talked in some form or fashion about how we can't describe what the glory is. It's already unspeakable. And that's in this sense, what are we going to do when it's all put together? I don't know. What a wonderful thing this is. Amen. Matthew 16:27 says, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels. And then He shall reward every man according to his work. We of our generation have not seen this glory before. Notice this, the glory of His Father. Now there's one thing of the glory of Jesus of Nazareth. And there's another glory, one glory differeth from another, of the Creator who created all things. Amen. There's another glory of He who created all things also governs all things. All of these glories, but He's saying, Father, amen. He wants to have that glory also. You know what? He is worthy. He's not asking for anything that doesn't belong to Him. He is worthy. I believe we sung that song a few nights ago. Worthy, 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 worthy. Hallelujah. when John saw that book and it was sealed with seven seals, he began to weep. And they told him, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to loose the seals thereof." There's one worthy, John. Don't weep. What will we ever know what is written? There's only one worthy. Hallelujah, to come and to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. Oh, hallelujah. He is worthy this morning. I want to say this. He is worthy of everything you can give him. He is worthy for you being faithful even unto death. He alone is worthy. He's worthy of everything you possess. Everything you possess is his. You're only a borrower, whether it's a vehicle, whether it's your body. I'll say this, that terrestrial body is important. If it wasn't, God wouldn't waste the time raising it. Your body is important. And I'll just say this, it's not yours. It's the temple of God. You're not allowed to do stuff to your body that God wouldn't approve. Because that's not yours. You've been bought with a price according to the scriptures. He bought you. And it's wrong to mess with another man's property. He's come to sanctify this body, soul, and spirit. He's come. This body means something. And we're to hold it in sanctification and honor unto him. Why? So that he can be glorified in that body while in this terrestrial world, while we walk this earth. Because very soon, we will be done with the terrestrial. I want to encourage you this morning, labor for the master. Labor while you have your being. Thank God for these men like Brother Mike and Brother Lonnie who have labored over 50 years. I promise you, you won't regret it. If anything, I guarantee you the old Apostle Paul, when he would see Jesus, would probably say, "I wished I'd have done more. I'm ashamed. I wished I would have done more for him. I wished I could have taken more stripes for him. I wished I could have preached to just one more soul." Do you realize this is a very short window in eternity? Mortality is a very short thing. For some folks, it's shorter than others. Amen. That's why we're exhorted to serve God in the days of your youth. Give him everything. Serve him. Labor. Don't allow the world. Amen. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are therein." Don't allow the world to rob you of giving unto God what belongs to him. Amen. And I'm not talking about nickels and dimes. I'm talking about your life. Right. It's more than raiment and food. Uh-huh. Amen. Don't allow the world to deceive you into using your life in vanity and forsaken the offering that God demands of you. Amen. We should present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. This is not in my notes. Not acceptable to the society of 2024. Acceptable unto God. His requirements are different. What society says, "Oh, you've gone too far. You go to church, check the box, that's good." God says, "You haven't even begun." He wants all of you. He wants your heart. He wants your mind stayed upon him and fixed upon him. Amen. He wants that sacrifice that he deserves. He deserves that. He deserves, if we could live 1,000 lifetimes, he would deserve every song we could sing, every message we could preach, every prayer we could ever pray to him. He is worthy of that. And it belongs to him. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to go just a super bunch longer. I got a few more things I want to say. Something, I'm going to say this, just suppose, let's read over it. I've got some verses I want to read to you. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. I'm talking about a mighty God. Amen. Full of glory. Hallelujah. hey man, all the other preachers preached about his glory in so many ways. Hey man, just pull it all together right there. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Notice this, I've always liked this verse. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Amen. I'm just saying this morning, suppose. Go down to verse 12, and it says, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, notice the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You imagine? What kind of heat would it take to burn this earth? What kind of power would that take to melt even the elements, all of it? Exodus chapter 24, verse 16 and 17 says this, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Listen to this, verse 17. We're in Exodus 24, verse 17. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. A friend of mine went to the Holy Land. He said, James, he said, we got to go on Mount Sinai. He said, everything's still burnt up there. Rocks burnt 4 inches deep. It was like a devouring fire. Seemed like Hebrews 12:29 said, for our God is a consuming fire. Yeah. Amen. Saul, on the way to Damascus, he seen a light that was greater than the noonday sun. Amen. The light of heaven is the glory of God. I'm just saying, just suppose when the earth is melt with a fervent heat, Brother Ryan, just suppose the Lord Jesus Christ takes a look at it. It's something to be, it's one thing to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away, it's another thing for the God of all creation to behold you. Is it going to be? I don't know. Is it going to be, Brother Arliss, where Jesus Christ looks at the earth and says, you crucified the Lord of glory. You mocked me on the cross and said, if God will have him, let him take him. You said that I made myself the Son of God. You bowed before me. You put a purple robe upon my beaten body. And you said, bow the knee. And you put a crown upon my head of thorns. And you beat that crown with rods, and you drove those thorns into my head. And you beat me mercilessly. You beat me. The Bible says he was marred more than the sons of men. Upon that earth, you beat me. You scarred me. You hit me in the face with the palm of your hands. You mocked my office as a prophet and said, prophesy thou unto us who it was that smote thee. You nailed me to a cross. You cast lots for my garments. You embarrassed me. You humiliated me while I died for the sins of the world. I don't know. I often wonder, Brother Ryan, if Jesus didn't say, you want to see what I am? You want a taste of my glory? And when he reveals it, the earth itself melts with a heat so hot that every particle of this earth is disintegrated because he is the Lord of glory. You want to see who's the Lord of glory? Here I am. Because when he shows up, those men of the earth, they begin to scream for the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of the Lamb. Hide us from God. Why? Because his glory is making me afraid. His glory, I thought was a fun thing, but I'm beginning to realize the glory of God. It's a fearful thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of the living God. And that glory, the intensity of it, oh no. What was it that was so bright above the intensity of the noonday sun that Saul on his way to, what was it? Something brighter. The glory of God. I'm Jesus. I'm the Lord of glory. This man that has warred against me and against my church. And you know what he did? He fell. Oh, Lord. I didn't know you had that kind of glory. I thought you just had a little saving glory. I thought you was just a little miracle working Jesus on this earth. I didn't realize all this put together, that there's an intensity. I'll just say this. I believe his glory is so mighty, it could destroy everything that ever was made. I'm telling you, he is the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. There will come a day when we, the church, will march forth through the great aisles of heaven. We shall see the King. We shall see him, but not like they saw him. We shall see him, but no longer with the eye of faith, not like I've seen him. Brother Charles, we'll see him altogether different. And we'll realize, amen, this God, he is mighty. Hallelujah. Amen, that there's power in this great God. And I want to say this morning, if you are not born again, you don't want to face the King of Glory in your sins. That's not something you want to do. I promise you, if you do, you will have all eternity to regret. I say it often, every man and every woman will hate sin somewhere in time. Some hate it at the altar. I'm ashamed of the sins that I've committed against this great God. Other people will have to stand before him before they're ashamed and hate their sins. And believe me, they'll hate them. Oh, why did I turn him away? Why? Why did I choose the weak and beggarly elements of this world? Why did I choose my own will over his? Why did I choose my own way? Why did I think I was God? Why did I think, oh, there's no... All of these things. He's a holy God. And he is a glorious God. Amen. The glory of God is beyond our comprehension to understand. But if you're not here today, I just want to exhort you, come and find out just a little bit of his glory. Repent of your sins and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you too will find out that he is the Lord of glory. Amen. I'm going to turn it back to you, Pastor Ryan.